What's up, guys? Welcome back to Strength 101. This episode is part two of a two-part series where we bust 10 fitness myths. If you didn't check out the first five, go check that out before you listen to this one. But if you've already listened to it, get ready for some more. Here we go.
Time under tension is driving metabolite accumulation.
I look like Spider-Man. I feel like shit. Come on, Chase, finish it.
Eating protein within 30 minutes, like post-training or post-weight training.
Yeah, the anabolic window.
There you go, the anabolic window.
Yeah. You want me to go? Yeah, so like this, yeah, this is especially in like kind of the meathead part of our industry is like, if I don't eat X amount of protein, pick your number because it's different in every article. If I don't eat 20 grams or 30 grams or 50 grams of protein, within a half an hour after lifting or an hour after lifting, I'm gonna negate my gains. There is some truth and there is some falsity to this. Like first off, your body doesn't operate on such an acute cycle that like if you were to just not eat at all for an hour after your training, that you were gonna like reduce your gains. Your body operates off of a system where it's like if me and you go into the gym and we lift heavy weights, we're breaking down the muscle and then it's gonna take much longer period to repair that. Let's call it 24 hours, 48 hours, something like that. And as long as you get that muscle recovered, it's going to grow back bigger and stronger. The only way that that you actually run the risk of like completely reducing your gains is if you didn't eat for like 24 or 48 hours, or if you were just such low body fat that because you didn't get that protein in an hour after, your body has no choice but to start eating your muscles for fuel. But unless you're like a professional bodybuilder and you're shredded to the bone, you don't have to worry about this. So if there's like stress going into your life because you didn't get your protein shake in an hour and it took you 2 hours before you were able to stop and eat, like you're stressing yourself out for no reason.
Right. Because I, with that, like your body doesn't know the time. Like it doesn't know how long it's been since you trained. It's not going to be like, oh my gosh, it's been 3 hours. Yeah. I can't even utilize this protein.
No
like,
gains not, for you.
Yeah. Screw you.
There is something to take advantage of there though. Like, so like when people talk about that anabolic window, your body does upgrade protein synthesis. So like if you get protein in within an hour after a workout, it is going to more effectively drive that protein into the muscle to start the recovery process. So you can definitely take advantage of that. And also there, like the one thing that we can't speed up about recovery is time. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite Warren Buffett quotes is you can't get a baby in 1 month by getting 9 women pregnant. Some things just take time and muscle recovery just takes time. So yes, technically if I were to wait 5 hours after my workout before I get protein in, then I have delayed the recovery process and maybe I'm not going to feel as good if I try to train 24 hours later. Mm-hmm. But especially if you're training every other day or something, and you're not training crazy hard, like it's not worth the stress to like, you know, force yourself into habits that are hard for you.
Right. Oh, for sure. And I mean, just honestly focusing on protein in general throughout your day, right, is going to make a huge difference for your gains in muscle and sleep. But I know that's a whole different topic on our myth debunking, but 2 points to add.
Yeah. What you got?
Oh, you want me to read the next one?
Sure. Or I can read some. I don't know.
7. If you aren't sweating, it isn't a good workout.
You take this one.
I'll take this one. This is absolutely far from the truth because there's plenty of exercises you'll be doing that are extremely effective for your body and you might not just sweat as much. And that is okay. Some of us aren't much of sweaters compared to others. Nick sweats his ass off. I don't.
Yeah. And it's like, well, why does your body sweat?
I don't even really know.
It just gets overheated, right? Okay, so it's fair. like you could... And this was very obvious to me when I grew up in the Midwest, and then when I moved out to Colorado for the first time, I remember I did a workout like 2 days after I moved there and I didn't sweat at all. And I was like kind of freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, am I sick? Am I dehydrated? What the heck's wrong with me? Did I not work very hard? But it's dry out there. It's not humid.
Yeah.
And so like if sweat was the only thing that mattered as far as for fat loss or defined a good workout, well, it's like we should all be in a sauna, you know, working out, or we should all work out in the most humid climates. And there's plenty of people that live in arid climates that are cold and they never sweat and they are jacked and they are shredded.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, your sweat is just your body losing water. It doesn't have anything to do with fat loss.
You see?
That's it's just, it's kind of ridiculous.
No, it is.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I was thinking about how the difference from you from the climate change, I feel like that would have been like a crazy shock to the body a little bit.
Yeah. And then my parents still lived in Illinois. So then I came back in the summer and I just like got out of the car and started sweating.
And started
I'm like,
sweating.
Oh, I still sweat.
Yeah, like, thank God.
But like, yeah, I'm like, it's not like I feel like I'm dripping fat off just being in humidity.
Right.
You know, I trained a friend for her wedding a few years ago, and we had done this remotely. And one of her comments to me was, she was like, for the first couple weeks that I did your workouts, I was really concerned that I wasn't going to get results because I wasn't sweating near as much as when I had done treadmill work and cardio stuff before.
Yeah.
But luckily she had stuck with it because she's a huge advocate for our programming now, and she lives here now too. But Leah, I don't know if you...
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, but she said, like, I was shocked that I wasn't sweating during my workouts because I stuck to longer rest times and just the strength training like I had told her to. She's like, but then, like, my arms looked better than they ever had, and I got better results than I ever had, and I didn't feel like I had sweaty workouts and I wasn't huffing and puffing, but I still got results. And it's like, well, isn't that kind of what we're all looking for?
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't have to be drenched and I didn't have to be exhausted and I can be jacked...
Yeah. That sounds
that's
like
a perfect world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the perfect world.
I think that's a good point. You say that because, like, right now here in Wisconsin, it is currently like -17. And granted, sure, it could be a little bit warmer in the gym, but like we're for sure not sweating nearly as much as we would with the doors open in the middle of the summer here. So, it is back to the overheating aspect and to like just because we're not sweating as much in the winter, like we are still getting just as good as a workout if we were in the summer. And quite honestly, as you said, a lot of times if I'm like sweating too much, like. I'm more uncomfortable than anything else.
Yeah.
It's not as.
Or if you get too overheated, you're just to get exhausted.
Yeah. And you're not pushing yourself as you would as
much. So sweat equity is bullshit.
Light weights at high reps for toning. I'm going to have you start on this
one. Yeah. We just hear this one all the time. Like people say, and it's very much related to whether lifting makes you bulky. Light weights at high reps to get toned muscles. The body doesn't really work this way. So I think a lot of people, and I would say, you know, mostly females too, are more concerned with like, can I get a toned look without looking like too muscular or too bulky? Mm-hmm. You know, you can definitely build muscle using lighter weights and higher reps. But I would argue, the issue I have with this statement is light weights, because it is next to impossible to put muscle mass on if you don't have heavy enough weights in hand. Mm-hmm. If you don't challenge the muscle enough, it is not going to grow. And so let's say I picked up to do bicep curls. And like we could try, it would be awesome to do an experiment of this where we measured somebody's arms. Like let's say me and you decided we're going to do arms for like 8 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And we measured our arms and you did light weights and high reps. Let's call it like you're going to pick up 5 pound weights, you know, like the little colored ones that people like to use at home. And you did like 20 reps on your arms every single time, regardless of whether it actually pumped you up or challenged you.
Sure.
And then if I did like 10 reps with heavy weights, I can guarantee you my arms would grow so much faster than yours. And that's what we're really looking for when we're talking about muscle tone. Mm-hmm. Muscle tone is simply, did I grow the muscle enough to actually see the shape of the muscle? And do I have low enough body fat so it's not covering up that shape of the muscle?
Right, you can see it.
And so when you boil it down to it, it's just about muscle growth. And if your weights are too light, you're never going to grow muscle. So you're not, yes, you are avoiding getting bulky, but you're also avoiding the results of getting that toned look. And so you're much more likely, you can use high repetitions to gain muscle, but I always say it's moderate weights. Mm-hmm. You know, it still has to be challenging. When you get to the end of a set of 15 reps, or 20 reps, you should feel like you couldn't do any more. If you know you could have done 30 reps or 40 reps, the likelihood that you sent a signal to the muscle that says it has to get bigger and stronger and grow is next to nothing.
Sure.
It's just not happening.
Right. Yeah. I would even add to that, like you saying bicep curls that popped in my head, like, okay, if I were to go grab, you know, a 15-pound dumbbell and I'm pumping it up for bicep curls. To be honest with you, for me, that's a lot, especially for a specific amount of reps. Now, if I were to do squats or something, 15 would not be enough. So remember to tailor it towards what muscle group you're using, because it's not always going to be the same, obviously, weights. But it's still to the point, Nick, that, like, you need to push yourself to more of a heavier weight rather than just going through the motion on it, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a really good point, because, like, if you, especially for bigger muscles, like if you want to grow your legs, or let's say you, like you're somebody who's like, I want toned legs, mm-hmm. and I'm just gonna do body weight stuff all the time. Like, sure, you may get a little bit of shape to your legs initially if you were like untrained and then you started training, But if you actually want to get a toned look, you have to grow muscle. And legs are big muscles. They're strong muscles. So having like a 10-pound dumbbell that you're just doing sumo squats with is probably not really going to touch you. It doesn't matter how many reps you get. And the perfect example of this is low weight, high reps is a cross-country runner, right?
Yeah.
They do constant reps. Like they're endurance monsters. Like nobody does more reps on their legs and their calves than a long distance runner, a cross country runner, yet they are scrawny, mm-hmm. right? Because you can't get significant, like your body doesn't grow muscle until you get above a certain threshold on load. So when you are choosing how much weight you should use for certain exercises, whether you're training high rep or low rep, this is why we always push people to say, train close to failure.
Yep.
If you're training in strength segments where you're down at like 8 reps and below, we always teach people to go until they feel like they could have done one or two more maybe, but they might have been messy reps. And then we know you got close. We don't want to take them completely to failure on heavier exercises because there's an injury risk. Mm-hmm. But if you are doing something like bicep curls or lateral raises and you want to do 15 or 20 reps, you should basically push that until you just want to drop the weights because it either burns so much or you just can't lift your arms up that high anymore.
For sure.
Yeah. And so you have to kind of gauge it by what is actually difficult for your muscles.
Mm-hmm. And that's different for everyone, right? But don't make it too easy on yourself because you're not going to get those gains.
Yeah.
All right. No pain, no gain. How often have you heard this? Because I feel like I've heard this far too much. I think it actually goes back to what you just said. Like no pain, no gain, I think about like you're pushing yourself so dang hard that you can't go any farther in each and every workout. Like pushing yourself to failure every single time. This actually goes back a little bit more even to the recovery piece because if you're doing that, one, you're really not getting anything out of it. You're just pushing yourself to a potential injury. Two, you're not giving yourself any time to recover. And three, like you're literally, I mean, I don't want to say ruining your body, but you're just getting more
totally
of a negative
are.
Than you are
yeah.
more of a positive.
There's always a relationship between how much stress you can put on your body and then how much rest and recovery you need from that. So I think there's an argument that you can train really hard if your recovery is freaking optimal and you're resting long enough between sessions. But I don't think that's what a lot of people do when they have this no pain, no gain mentality. It's this mentality that, okay, when I'm going through a workout, if I'm not dead on the floor afterwards, I didn't get enough out of it. Mm-hmm. And you can overtrain yourself by doing that and increase your risk for injury. Or it's somebody saying, I trained yesterday, but I'm not sore today, so it clearly did nothing for me.
Yeah.
And so some people will train themselves into such crazy soreness as much as possible that they just are like stiff and walking around. And if you don't really let yourself recover, like you're going to go into a set of deadlifts stiff because you trained yourself so hard 2 days ago that now you're going to injure yourself because your body's stiff and you're trying to get it to pick up loads.
And guess what? It's still not the deadlifts problem.
It's not the deadlifts problem. Yes. Oh, man, how did that circle back around? But yeah, I think there's a point to the no pain, no gain thing because like let's say we go back to our bicep curl example and if we're training people in the gym and we want them to push close to failure – it's certainly true that you have to deal with discomfort, right?
Yeah.
If I did bicep curls and I never got to the point where it burned or it got hard, I'm probably not promoting muscle growth.
Mm-hmm.
But if I push myself globally to the point of pure exhaustion or my body can't recover and I'm stiff and sore all the time, it's usually counterproductive because you're either going to get injured and you're going to kick yourself out of the gym for a while, or you're going to be so sore that you start skipping days.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this from both our own experiences and coaching so many people that consistency is the real game.
Oh, for sure. And I would even like versus instead of thinking of it as no pain, no gain, I would think of if you need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes.
That'd be the way I'd flip it around.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And
don't kill yourself in the gym.
Exactly.
Please.
Yep. And that's honestly every time that I've gotten injured, it's because I've told myself that the soreness to train through the soreness or train through the stiffness or that I was fine
mm-hmm.
and I could pick up the same weights sore that I could when I was fresh. And that's always when I've hurt myself.
Yeah.
And so there's
or
a real
kickball.
There can be or playing kickball. Yeah.
Sorry. If you know, you know.
That hurts. It hurts.
All right. Awkward. Okay, let's go. actually, so number 10, this kind of curls into the end of what we just talked about. So if you take time away from training, you will lose your gains or you will not be able to maintain the gains you currently have.
Yeah.
No. Like, I mean, how long did it take you to put on that muscle and for you to put all that work in? Like, you didn't just get jacked in one day. Like, it took a very long mm-hmm. time for you to get to the point that you're at. So it's not going to go away tomorrow if you miss a couple days off the gym or even a couple weeks If you're sick, well, heck, if you're sick for a month, you are not going to lose that. Sure, you might come back and you won't be able to maybe lift quite as heavy, but that just means you're getting back into it. It does not mean at all that, like, you're trying to rebuild your stamina. It does not mean at all that you've lost all your strength.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think everybody's terrified because when they finally do get in a habit and they see progress and they finally see that thing that was so elusive for some people for so many years, that if you have to take any time off, not only is it like a fear thing where it's like, oh my God, I'm going to lose all the gains, but they do see the changes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, if you, let's say you had to take a week off because you're sick, like, you're going to look in the mirror and your body's just going to look different from two things. One, you're not training, so mm-hmm. your body's not going to hold on to as much water. The muscles aren't going to be as pumped up. But two, you're sick. And so your body is diverting resources to try to heal you. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you're not looking or feeling optimal. But, you know, the research is very clear on this. Like, the amount of volume that you have to do lifting wise to maintain your current muscle mass is like 1/9 of what it takes to build more muscle.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so if you take it that way, it's very small amounts, which I think the general advice I would give most people is, like, if you want to maintain the muscle mass you have, as long as you're activating those muscles every once in a while, even if you were to say, let's say you were homesick and you're like, man, I've been working on my chest for like the last, you know, 6 months, and I'm worried I'm going to lose all my gains. Like, well, just do like 10 push-ups mm-hmm. and let the body know that you're still using that muscle and don't starve yourself with protein and you'll be totally fine.
For sure.
The only times that the body really starts to actually take muscle away or eat muscle is if you're completely starved and your body actually sees it as an emergency maneuver that it has to go and eat muscle mass. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's all just fear mongering.
I think adding with that is what you just said is, like, granted, you're not gonna lose, but less is more, right? Coming in with this as well. I don't know why I brought that in. Something you said that triggered in my head. From you saying that it's like 1/9 of the volume that you'd need.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, that kind of goes back even to less is more, rather than training 6 days a week or whatever. That's kind of off topic of this myth, but
I'm just
putting an awareness point to that.
Yeah, because like your lifting cycle and your lifting journey in life is like so long that it's like, it's not, you just build consistently over time on a direct linear ascension. Like, it's just not how it is. And so there's just going to be times, sometimes for people, whether it's because of an injury or they just got life stressors or whatever, like, sometimes the best thing you can do is still go to the gym, still get movement in, but at a low enough level that you don't stress out your body and you just maintain your muscle mass for a while. Mm-hmm. And then there's periods of your life where you get everything in line. Your eating's good, your sleep's good, you know, your kids moved out of the house or whatever, and you can like really drive like building more muscle. But you know, we see this all the time with athletes, like former athletes. If somebody comes into our gym and they tell me they haven't worked out for the last 10 years, ever since they were in college sports.
Yep.
Like, those people, they get that strength and that muscle mass and that memory of it is in their body, and they come back so fast. Mm-hmm. So especially if you, let's say you're the person that did lift for a significant period of time, you had significant muscle mass, and just like the idea, you've taken so much time off that the idea of getting back into it and feeling like you have to do all that work to get back to it is daunting. Like, it'll come back like crazy fast for
you. Yes. And that's true. Like, don't let it deter you that, oh, I've been gone for so long, what's the point of going back? I'm never gonna be the way I was.
Yeah.
That's very much not true.
Yep. Yeah.
A lot of times you'll come back even better.
Yeah. What else? Anything else? That's all 10 that we wrote down.
That was all 10.
Yeah.
I would say that if you have any myths that you've heard or any, at least just questions that you're curious about, if it's even a myth or not, hit Nick and I with it.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, like, please, you know, this is our first couple episodes of this podcast. So if you can go in and rate it, review it, subscribe to it. If you find this on YouTube and you can leave us a comment, all that stuff helps, not only for feedback for us, like, or if you're just listening to us and you actually see us in person at the gym, let us know that something was useful. Cause like, all that feedback really fuels us. And if you want to hear anything specific, like, find a way to contact us and let us know, because we love talking about this stuff and we're just looking for direction from you guys on what actually brings you value. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at MatracaFit, MatracaFit.
Nice. And you can find me on Instagram at Nick, NICK, _ Byom, BYOM. And then everything else for our gym is at Strength Academy RF for our home Instagram page. If you're finding us on YouTube or TikTok, we're at Strength Academy 101. Facebook, it's also, right, at Strength Academy 101? At Strength Academy RF? I don't know.
Pretty sure it's at Strength Academy RF.
Yeah, if you find, like, you'll find us.
TikTok's back, so you can find us on there again.
Yay.
All right, guys.
She's more psyched than I am about that.
We will see you next week.
Peace out.